My name is Brian. I'm volunteering as a student minister here this year, if I haven't met you already. If you could keep your Bibles open to Psalm 55, that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. But how about I pray for us as we get into it? Our Father, please help us to hunger for the truth. And please help us to be satisfied with the truth. Father, we ask that you would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts this morning as we look at this psalm that you have given to us in your word. Please help us to understand it and to respond to it. In Jesus' name, amen. Emotions can be hard to deal with. When you're in the heat of anger or in the depths of fear, when you're hung up on the one you love, or in the depths of depression, it can be hard to think straight. It can be hard to make wise decisions when you're dealing with strong emotions. He's running late again. I can't believe him. He really has no respect for people's time. Other people have things to do too, you know? I'm sick and tired of this. I'm not putting up with it anymore. Man, that guy gets on my nerves so much. He's obsessed with that stupid idea of his, and it's like nothing else matters to him. Can't he see that nobody else cares? She's my best friend. I can't believe she has cancer. It's not fair. I don't know what to do. I'm scared. Psalm 55 is a song written by David when he was betrayed by someone he considered a friend. He felt angry and fearful and overwhelmed. And in this song, he pours out his emotions to God. I think there's a lot we can learn from his example. Well, the first thing to notice is that our emotions are driven by our fears and our desires. David is in the midst of emotional turmoil. Look at verses 1 and 2. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me. I am distraught. In verse 3, he says, they bring suffering on me. David is in anguish. And David's anguish is driven by fear. In verse 4, he says, my heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen on me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. David is in danger, and he fears death. And so often the way we react to things is because we're afraid. It's because of our fears. Why am I so stubborn with my boss? Because I fear failure. Why do I avoid certain topics of conversation? Because I fear that you won't like me if I can't say the right things. Why do I ravenously gobble up all of the latest technology news? Because I fear falling behind in a world of competition. One of my lecturers at college used to work as a Presbyterian minister. And as a young, fresh, new minister in his church, he saw lots of things that needed updating. Things like having a good website, updating them, some of the music that they sang, investing in things that would make the church more welcoming to young people and to newcomers. But whenever you make changes, of course, there's always going to be those one or two people who really don't like the kinds of changes that you've made. And that was the case here. The first and only time he ever got reported to the Presbyterian session with a complaint about him as a minister was when he stopped preaching from the pulpit and he started preaching from a lectern. The person who reported him was a very elderly lady who just seemed bizarrely stubborn. And he would go talk to her, and he didn't understand her at all, and he just couldn't get why this was such an important thing to her. But one day he decided to stop trying to convince her and instead listen to her. Radical, I know. And when he listened, he discovered that here was a woman who was scared. She grew up a long time ago, and she was watching the world, everything she knew and was familiar with, change in ways that she wasn't ready for. And that made her scared. And so all she could do was hold on as tightly as she could to the one thing that she had some control over. And that was her church. It wasn't about the lectern or the pulpit. She was scared. She was driven by fear. Our emotional reactions are driven by our fears and also our desires. So David expresses his desires in verses 6 to 8. Have a look with me. Oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and storm. He just wants to escape his situation. It would be so much easier if he had wings. Then he'd fly far away where no one could find him and no one could hurt him. But what you can see that it's not really about the wings, is it? It's that David wants rest. He wants a shelter from the storm. And sometimes I have weeks where I've bitten off more than I can chew. Feels like sometimes that this year I've bitten off more than I can chew. I've started college, I've moved house, I've changed churches, I'm getting married, I'm trying to find time to serve at church, I'm serving at college, I'm trying to do some marriage prep, preparing for the wedding day and honeymoon and new home, and I'm trying not to leave quality time with Steph as a last priority. There are definitely moments when I crave rest. And I'm sure that your life is not too different from mine. I'm sure there are times that it's just as busy. If you have kids, I know that's the case. And you crave rest too. And sometimes, the moments of that when we need rest, it's not just rest from busyness. It's rest from wickedness that we need. When a person walks into a university and shoots dead 168 people, when children are systematically abused for years, when a person you trusted turns out to have been manipulating you and others, oh, then I wish I had wings. Then maybe I could fly far away. Maybe I could find a place to rest where none of this would affect me. I need rest. And David is tired of having to watch his back all the time. He's tired of being afraid. He desperately wants rest. David's emotions are driven by his fears and his desires. And this psalm shows us what David does with his emotions, his fears, and his desires. Because he brings his emotions, fears, and desires to God and pours them out to him. Look at verses 12 to 15. If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were rising against me, I could hide. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship at the house of God as we walked about among the worshippers. Let death take my enemies by surprise. Let them go down alive to the realm of the dead, for evil finds lodging among them. David can be completely honest with God. He says, this is how I feel, God. Here are the deep hurts of my heart. Here are the deep fears of my heart. This is what I am thinking. This is what I want. He pours out everything to God. Now, maybe you're thinking, God already knows what David thinks and feels, even before David thinks them. He knows David's prayer before he's even written it down, before he's said it on his lips. Why should David tell God what he already knows? Well, the answer is because telling God is a way of reaching out to him. If you have a friend who's just lost their mum, and you might go and sit with them, and you both kind of sit in silence for a little while because you both know what's going on, but there just aren't words to say. And then so you sit for a bit longer in silence, and then they turn to you and they say, she's gone. I'm devastated. I miss her. At that point, you're not thinking, I knew that already. You didn't have to tell me. What you're doing when you share that information is not, you're not trying to tell them something new. You're pouring out your heart to them in order to connect with them, to reach out to them. And that's what we do with God. God does know what's going on in our hearts, and he knows what we're feeling and thinking. But when we tell those things to him, we're connecting with him. And we allow him to comfort us in that moment when we do that. David reaches out and connects with the one true and living God. He does it by telling God what he feels, what he's scared of, and what he wants. His emotions, fears, and desires. And God listens. David knows that God will quell his fears and satisfy his desires and transform his emotions. Verses 16 to 23. As for me, I call to God and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress and he hears my voice. He rescues me unharmed from the battle waged against me, even though many oppose me. God, who is enthroned from of old, who does not change, he will hear them and humble them, because they have no fear of God. My companion attacks his friends. He violates his covenant. His talk is smooth as butter. Yet war is in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil, yet they are drawn swords. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. But you, God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of decay. The bloodthirsty and deceitful will not live out half their days. But as for me, I trust in you. David isn't going to save himself. He feels like he's trapped in a situation where the only solution is to miraculously sprout wings and fly off. And that's why David doesn't pray to David. David prays to the Lord, the only God, the only one who can help him. He prays before he goes to bed. He prays when he gets up in the morning, and he prays during the day, evening, morning, and noon. Why does he pray? Because he knows that God hears. He knows that God will be faithful to his promises, not like his friend who betrayed him. And God will answer both his fears and his desires. David fears death and danger, but God will be his rescuer and savior. David desires wickedness to be stopped, and God will humble the wicked. David desperately needs rest, and God is his protector and sustainer. Safety and security are found in him. And so by the end of the psalm, David says, "Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken." And perhaps that's a word that you need to hear this week. Cast your cares on the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. It might mean for you that at the end of a long day before you go to bed, you decide to give all the things of that day that are on your mind to God, and you trust him with the burden of it while you sleep. It might mean that when you get up in the morning and you think of all the things that you need to do today, you start by reflecting on God and you rely on his strength to work for his glory. And it might mean that during the day at lunchtime or at tea time or whenever is appropriate, you take a moment to recognize that God is with you in that moment. He's with you all the time. So whatever is on your mind, you commit that to God who sustains you. Now, as a Christian, I don't think you can read this Psalm 55, which is about trusting God in the midst of betrayal, without also thinking about Jesus. Because if anyone can pray this psalm, it's Jesus, as he sweats in anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane. Even as he prays in that garden, one of his closest followers is in the act of betraying him. He knows that trusting God will not mean an easy rescue. For him, trusting God will mean condemnation. It will mean death. And in the garden, he's pouring out his soul to God. He's telling God, "Here's how I feel. I am afraid. I don't want this." But Jesus trusts God all the way to his grave. And the proof that his trust is well founded, that God is able to answer his fears and desires, is that God answered his prayer. God raised him from the dead. you can trust God even to the end of your life. He will deliver you because he raised Jesus from the dead. See, emotions are a part of everyday life. Sometimes they'll be especially strong, and sometimes we won't even realize that they're affecting us. But big or small, they show us the things that we fear and the things that we desire. And the question is, what are you going to do with your emotions and your fears and your desires? David shows us that part of trusting God means bringing all those things, your emotions, fears, and desires, to God in prayer. And God is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine. He will quell our fears, and he will satisfy our desires. He knows us, and he will comfort us. So let's commit ourselves to him now. Bow your heads. Lord God, you are our Father, and we are your children. Everything that has been on our minds and hearts this week, we cast them onto you now. All of our cares and our burdens, we give them to you now. We want you to know us, and we trust that you will take care of our fears and our desires. Transform our emotions, Lord, to reflect the fact that you quell our fears and you satisfy our desires. And may this be a prayer we pray more often in our daily lives. Amen. There's